I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Greetings in the name of the Lord. In today's lesson, we're going to look in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 33. We want to look at the most wicked man in the Bible. In verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 33, it says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But did that, in verse 2, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Now some students of the Bible believe that Manasseh is the most wicked man to be found in Scripture. Manasseh means making to forget. He was the worst king of Judah. In just a few moments now, we're going to look into the things that he did that many Bible scholars believe make him the wickedest man found in the Bible. First, let me invite you to look at our website today, lrwm.org, lrwm.org. On the website there, you'll be able to look at this program in transcript form. You'll also be able to download this program again and hear it. You'll be able to download and hear other programs of It's a Good Life. Not only that, you'll be able to download messages that I've preached some years, and you'll be able to download messages of other preachers who are preaching on that website, lrwm.org. Thank you so much for listening to this program and supporting this program, and we just give the Lord the praise for you and for the privilege of being able to bring you messages that you hear on this station. Well, 2 Chronicles chapter 33, and you read about this man, Manasseh, in verses 1 through 19. Well, first of all, what makes him such a wicked person? How do we see him as a wicked person? First of all, his sins. According to verse 2, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And then we see in verses 3 through 5, he was an idolater. Verse 3 says he built again the high places. And verse 3 also says he reared up altars for Balaam. Verse 3 says he made groves. Verse 3 says he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And on the list goes, and there's a couple more things I'm going to mention here. But notice that he was worshiping things that were not true. He was worshiping trees. He was worshiping the stars and the things that we look up and we see in the heavens as an astrologer would look up. And he was worshiping these things instead of worshiping the true God. And then we see that he built altars in the house of the Lord. He desecrated the house of God, according to verse 4. Verse 5 says he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, desecrating the sacred place that God had said, this is where you will worship me. And Manasseh, we see, was worshiping anything and anyone other than the true Lord. And we also see that his sins, he was an idolater. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and this is one of the worst things that we look at here. Of course, not serving God and serving other gods, so-called gods, that's bad enough. But in verse 6, it tells us that he murdered his children. It says there, and he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He offered his own children as a sacrifice to the pagan god Molech. The pagan sacrifice could have involved his children in either passing between the two fires as an act of dedication to Molech, or in an act of actually passing through the fire as a human sacrifice to this pagan god Molech. And this was paganism, and it was forbidden by God in Leviticus 18:21. It says, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." So we see in that verse in Leviticus 18:21 that he had actually gone against everything that God said don't do. We also see that he practiced magic and witchcraft in verse 6. If everything else wasn't bad enough, he practiced magic and witchcraft. It says he observed times. In other words, he watched for certain signs instead of seeking God's will. And he used enchantments, according to this verse, and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit, a demon spirit, and with wizards. It's not bad enough that he caused his children to pass through the fire to kill them. It wasn't bad enough that he was trying to serve other gods which were not real, but he was going against the true God. But we see that he turned to witchcraft. He turned to familiar spirits, the demon spirits of the devil, and to wizards. According to Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 12, this was strictly forbidden by God. We've already seen that he desecrated the house of God. He built altars there. In verse 7 it says, "And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God." He kept going on and on and on, worse and worse, more wicked. And then we see that he caused his people to sin. Verse 9 it says, "So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen." These people were supposed to be the people of God, and yet he had turned them into the people of the devil. They were doing things that was worse than the heathen. And then, that's not all. According to 2 Kings 21:16, he shed innocent blood. It says there, "Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another." He was a wicked person. He was a wicked man. And as I've said earlier, that some believe he was the most wicked person that we find in the Bible. But I got good news for you. And it was good news for him. And it's good news for some of the people listening today, I'm sure. As we look at him and we see the most wicked person in the Bible, we also see that his salvation came about. In spite of the fact that he was such a notoriously wicked man, we believe that the Bible makes it clear that he was saved from his sins. In verse 10, it says that the Lord spoke to him. And then again in verse 18, verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 33, it says, "And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken." Now notice verse 18. It says, "Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God," speaking of God our Father today, "and his prayer unto his God, and the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel." Many believe that he spoke to God, he asked his forgiveness, and God saved him. Notice in verses 11 and 12 how that the Lord afflicted him. "Wherefore," it says, "the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon." And this tells us that he was in affliction. You don't go against God and get away with it. We get saved after living a life of sin, but that sin takes its course in our lives. That sin is a price that is paid in the physical body many times. And we see that Manasseh paid the price here. In verses 12 and 13, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 33, it says, "And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers." In verse 13 says, "And he prayed unto him." I believe the Lord saved him. The Lord saved him. He besought the Lord in verse 12, and it says he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. In verse 13, he prayed unto him. In verse 13 says, the Lord heard his supplication. Verse 13 says, then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Well, there's good news today. Manasseh was the wickedest man that we find in the Bible, but we also see that his salvation came about, and then after his salvation, he served God. After God saved Manasseh, he became a changed man. He began to serve the Lord diligently. In verse 13, he was brought back by the Lord to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Verse 14, it says he built a wall without the city of David. And also in verse 15, he put away idolatry. Verse 16, he repaired the altar of the Lord. Verse 16, he sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings. And thank God, no matter how wicked a person is, no matter how wicked we become, there is good news for you from God. The most wicked man in the Bible was saved. The chief of sinners was saved. And you can be saved today. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Paul the apostle murdered Christians, and then he found God. He found the Lord. The Lord came into his heart, and Paul became a new creature in Christ. And you can become a new creature today by calling upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. It makes no difference how wicked you have been. God can save you today if you'll call upon the name of the Lord. Return from your sin. Ask God's forgiveness and he'll save you today for Christ's sake. And if you are saved and you're not living for him, shame on you. God wants to use you. He wants you in his service. He wants you to be telling others about his love, the love that he showed through his son, Jesus Christ, by sending him to this lost and dying world. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. And if you are saved today, you need to be serving him with all of your might. Thank you for joining me today. And let me remind you that you can receive a copy of this message by going to lrwm.org. You can also write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Write to me today and I'll send you absolutely free of charge a written transcript of this program, It's a Good Life. Tune in the next time and we'll be looking at another section of Scripture. And I pray today that you do know the Lord as your Savior. I pray that you've trusted Him today. I pray that you're serving Him as a saved person if you've been saved before. If you are saved, I pray that you are serving God to your fullest and that one day you'll hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Until the next time when you hear me say, "It is a good life. May the Lord bless you richly," is my prayer. Jesus, all the happiness that I